Thank you, Megan. So I'm not going to repeat the title, but you can look at the This is an American Hazelnut if you have not seen them before. They're pretty small compared to European hazelnut, but let me get into this. So the European hazelnut, Corylus avellana, is the commercially grown hazelnut species, and 70% about is grown in Turkey, 20% in Italy, and the rest of the 10% is mixed between these countries, USA included. And of those grown in the United States, 99% of that crop is grown in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And so part of the reason we have European hazelnuts as the commercial species is they're much larger than the wild species. They have larger nut sizes. They have thin shells, but they are susceptible to eastern filbert blight. So I'm going to use the pointer trick. So this is eastern filbert blight. It's a fungus that will cause cankers and eventually disease the wood so that it will snap off and, you know, not give you any more crop. Eventually kill the tree. So there are some eastern filbert blight resistant cultivars that are released and still being released from New Jersey, from Rutgers University. And so that's great news for everyone who has been waiting for a very long time for hazelnuts on the eastern United States. But still, they have a limited growing region on the East Coast. So they have some issues with cold hardiness. They prefer a moderate climate, and you can tell because most of the main growing regions are near large water bodies, so it sort of minimizes the extreme temperatures. The main setback for growing the European hazelnuts is that the catkins, which are they hold the pollen sacs. They are, you could see some pictures here. They are not very good with the cold. So they will be, they have some issues with wind desiccation. So that is up here, and they get very brittle. So let me show you a picture of that. So that is me holding a catkin that is a little bit too brittle. But the cool part is that you can see it still will shed pollen. Okay, so now we can talk about American hazelnuts. So they are native to the eastern United States and southern Canada and are eastern filbert blight resistant and particularly cold hardy. So the part of the reason they are cold hardy is they delay the expansion until later in the spring. So let me go back real quick. Once they start to expand, they're more sensitive to damage. And this is an example of some American hazelnuts. So this one and this one are Americans. This is a hybrid and this is a European. This is the range we selected from. So you could see that they grow in some pretty cold regions up here. That's Minnesota. Got some Minnesota people here. So the question is, they're cross-compatible, so why don't we use American hazelnuts as pollen parents or pollinizers to grow in European orchards to make sure that there's pollen available. Okay, so these two are cross-compatible, but most of the hybrid hazelnuts are American females, which means that the pollen came from the Europeans, which is the opposite of what I want to look into. So just real quick, this graph, the shades of red or pink are the female flower development, and the shades of yellow would be the pollen development. So these are mostly from European hazelnuts. It's data from over 4 years in New Jersey. So I'm looking at this range here from about mid-February to April is the season for the American pollen. So if we use different American trees present in our fields, then pollen can be available from about mid-February to late March, which will encompass a good majority of these trees. So they will be pollinated and hopefully yield fruit. So the issue is that the beginning is not covered, but the female flowers or the pistils will stay receptive for longer if they're not pollinated. So sometimes up to 2 months. Okay, so to test this, we need to do incompatibility allele testing, which I'm going to get into quickly, and that will determine which Americans are compatible with which Europeans as pollen parents, and then look into successful nut cluster percentage, which is just the pistils pollinated over the nut clusters formed. Okay, so very quickly, down here, so this is hazelnuts exhibit sporophytic incompatibility, which means they're not self-compatible. They need to be cross-pollinated. So down here, these are the S alleles or the incompatibility alleles for the female in hazelnut. So it's just an example, but the female will express both alleles, but up here in the pollen, only one allele will be expressed. And that is determined by this dominance hierarchy over here. So this is an S1, S2 plant. You look for S1 and S2. There's S1 on this third row, S2 on the fourth row. And that means that only this S1 allele is going to be expressed. So if there is no S1 in the female, then pollination will be successful. Okay, so I'm going to go through this quick. S allele testing was done in Oregon State University with Dr. Sean Mellenbacher. These are the 33 tester pollens. Okay, so real quick process, S allele testing. Bag the trees over here, collect these flowers, put them on petri dishes, remove the pistils and add aniline blue dye, put them on the slide, you mash them so that they're flat, and then you use the fluorescent microscope to determine compatibility. This is without any fluorescence, this picture, so you can just see where the pollen tubes will go. And the fluorescence is they're the pollen tubes. So if it looks like this, where not much of the flower is covered in fluorescence, then that would be considered incompatible. And there should only be two incompatible out of the 33. Those would be your two incompatibility alleles. So this and this up here on the top, those would be considered compatible. Okay, so I have some data from, I have four Americans that I tested. There were currently no American hazelnuts tested for S alleles, so we didn't really even know if it was going to work. So it was just just to show that this process would work. So what we found is that there was, just from these four, there's actually a lot of diversity in the S alleles compared to the plants that I used for, the Europeans I used for my crosses. There's a lot of one for the S allele, a lot of twos and threes and tens. So there's not a ton of diversity there. Doesn't mean there's not a lot of diversity in Europeans in general, but what we could grow in New Jersey, they need to be resistant to grow there, so that limits what we have. Okay, so 26 trees were in my study, counting replicates, 108 branches bagged, 21 pollen sources, one was a European mix, 11 were suspected hybrids, and 9 were Americans. And then these trees that were in the last slide comprised of most of the branches. Okay, that's just a picture of what it looks like after you take the bags off after they were pollinated. And you have to wait a little bit for the nut clusters to form, though. Okay, so results. First thing you can see is that there's only one American here in this top 10 of successful crosses. The rest are the hybrids and the one European, which we expect to be up near the top. It's sorted by nut cluster percent, so successful cross percent. And let's just move into the bottom 11 and see that all the Americans are down here with very low successful cross percentages. So why do I think that we saw that? Some possible reasons are that in the process of collecting the pollen, you have to take the American, or you have to take the catkins off of the tree at the perfect time right before they're going to shed pollen. So that was fine. And the issue with that is the American catkins expanded much less than the hybrids and the Europeans did. So that made me have to wait for some of them a little bit longer for the pollen to actually come out, which could have decreased its viability. So that's one potential reason. They might not be as tolerant to storage. They were stored for a week in the freezer, but I don't think that should have had too much of an effect. So to fix some of these potential issues, or just to shed more light on why this is happening, we want to test the viability using agar plates. So this is done successfully by Rebecca McCluskey at Oregon State University. So she gave me the protocol. I'm going to have my agar plates and go into the field and tap on the catkins and have the pollen fall directly onto the plates, and then go and analyze them under the microscope, make sure they're viable, and determine a viability percentage. And then I think I'm going to go directly with that pollen, collect the pollen, and then take it the same day to do my crosses, just to make sure, you know, there's nothing will have happened in the time of it's viable to I'm pollinating the trees. So that's one thing. Determine more American S alleles. So I'd like to do a bigger study on that. And then this is something that I thought about down here. To do the S allele testing, we have European pollen and American female flowers. And that works totally fine. So you can see the growth with the fluorescence. I think that we should try to do it the other way around to see if we see that fluorescence if you use American pollen on the European females to make sure that they're compatible. Okay, so final thoughts. The hybrids seem to yield better results as of right now and generally have a higher catkin quantity. So here's an example. The top ones, this is a hybrid with all these catkins, and that is an American down here with much smaller and many less catkins. And the hybrids could be used if you're just going up a little bit in latitude, or if it's just a little bit colder. But you still, for these much colder regions, you still probably wouldn't get away with using hybrids unless they're specifically bred for cold hardiness, or specifically cold hardy hybrids. So we can't just assume that it's going to work. These tests have to also be done in those regions. So me from New Jersey saying, you know, use this pollen, it will work, or use these trees as pollinizers, I think that would not be fair to anyone who's actually growing the Europeans there, so they would need to do a test to just make sure it works first. Okay, and that's it. These are my acknowledgments. This was funded by Northeast SARE, and that's it. Questions? Yeah. I have read about the method, but I'm not. Okay. I like easier, so.
And for small pollen, especially if the pollen is very small, things like fruit pollen, they're easy. But on small pollen, windblown pollen, the hang drop is a lot easier.
Okay.
So you should try that out.
Oh, I definitely will.
And the other question I had was, have you looked at whether you're looking at embryo abortion? You've got very little results, but I mean, do you know that pollination actually didn't occur, or did they, or did pollination occur, and then because you got a, you know, potentially hybrid mismatch, different species, maybe look at whether or not you're doing embryo abortion.
Right. Question was whether or not this could be embryo abortion rather than just pollination not occurring. I didn't look into that. In that sense, would I see something start to form and then it drops off or something?
It could occur very, very early. It might not be obvious.
Okay.
Because you've got the two different species. I mean, there may be other problems
there. Right, that's true. Yeah, I can look into that. Thank you. Time?
It's time, but no other questions.
Okay, thank you.